Hi, and welcome to our Doc Industry Podcast, season number 6. Here's your podcast about creative documentary and animated film industry. It's in collaboration with our dear friends, the programmers of Color Collective, What's Up With Dogs, and Talking Shorts. Big shout out to our partners, supporters, and contributors. Please check them out. And hey, good to have you here again. Enjoy the conversation. Here is your Doc Industry Podcast, season number 6.
Hi, it's such a pleasure to have you both joining us today for the episode on how do we navigate intercultural exchange for short films in the current political climate. I'll just introduce myself first. I'm Kila Gill. I am a programmer. I currently program for Singapore International Film Festival, and I'm on the selection committee for Berlinale Generation Shorts and also London Film Festival Experimenta section. I am also an associate programmer for London Short Film Festival. I will give it to the next speaker, Pui, to introduce herself.
Hi, Kila, and very happy and excited to be having this conversation with all of you. So my name is Pui. I'm a film programmer and arts manager based in Singapore. I'm currently working at Objectives, a photography and film center, and I take care of the film-related programs here. And then now I'd like to pass on to Nihan.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here, super excited. My name is Nihan, and I am a cultural worker and film programmer based in Berlin. And I'm also, I'm a colleague of Kila's with Berlinale Shorts. That's me.
Great. Thank you so much, both. I wanted to kind of start off, like, talking about short films. I guess we, like, you know, at the trio of us kind of worked in this form for some time now in different ways, and you know, I guess if we just want to jump in into it, where as a programmer and cultural worker, we tend to be a facilitator to this exchange, right? And I wanted to start off where we are in the current climate of the maddening situation that we're in politically within the industry, in the world, and to talk about care, but not in terms of this idea of institutional care. And I guess my first concern is this, the word care itself, right? Like, how do we perform this hospitality within an institution, within an industry that we are, and the idea of reshaping this language of care because of the amount of distress that we're also experiencing. How much are we enabling this care also within this sector in this current climate?
Thanks, Kila, for, starting, I think, bringing us through and starting off with the idea of care. I think that's always very lovely and much needed, like you said, especially in this current climate. You know, that's something that I think has been talked about a lot. And it's also something that I'm thinking about also because, you know, like when you say what does it mean to be, you know, like care in terms of not just an institution, but, you know, ourselves as film programmers and cultural workers. Something that I think that it's, you know, it doesn't have to be like such a big bombastic thing. I feel like, you know, it can be something as is so as natural as listening to a filmmaker. You know, if they have like an idea, you know, they have like a new idea of their film, they're working on something. I feel like it can be as simple as that, as advice, or, you know, like providing a space to our best ability, depending on where we are working at, you know, like they need a space to write or just, you know, think through, to bounce idea, or even just like have a small space where they want to do like private screenings and things like that. I feel like care can come in that so natural forms of just like providing a space, a listening ear, as we kind of like talk about ideas together. What do you think, Nihan? What are your thoughts?
I think especially nowadays, it's very important for us as programmers slash curators, or however you might call yourself, to provide a good environment that people can feel safe to express themselves in any way, you know, just that we provide a space for them where they can come up with ideas. And listening, of course, is a huge part of that, to listen to the filmmaker. And I think also for us, for the film programmers, that we take care of each other too, huh? Because sometimes we are having so many different backgrounds and we're coming from different angles of the world. The pressure that we face is always very different, but at the end, it's same. It's the same, you know? And I think that might be something, solidarity for each other in a way.
I don't mind. I don't want. Well, I'm going to bring it
Do it.
into kind of a bit of a negative space in terms of like thinking about this. You know, I agree to both of what you're saying in terms of this providing of advice, support, and this space for less listening, which a lot of the time we indirectly do, also in formal spaces, right? Like this kind of happens. And that kind of level of care is, I guess, the kind of much more humane part of a reaction to an engagement or an encounter. But there's also these kind of expectations on us to provide these things, right? Like, for example, I'm a freelance worker and I don't like have a space to provide, right? Like, it's, and also, these are festivals that I work for, therefore it's not an annual space, right? Like it's created for the amount of that 2 weeks or however long it runs. So anything that I do beyond that would be of my own time. And so how do we have these kind of boundaries and balances for ourselves to care? And in terms of the solidarity among each other, right? Because among, I mean, you know, it's quite common among us to also exchange emails and asking for favors in some ways, you know, to kind of like, hey, can you read the script? What do you think of the film? Like, you know, if we're being upfront and frank about it. So I guess this kind of, I guess I don't want to come in with so much skepticism because I think, you know, this systematic issue is a bit bigger and, but what do we do more kind of in the intricacy of now? How do we build back a trust that could also be misread at this climate, right? I think my, I guess it, where I'm coming from is looking at maker filmmakers who have pulled out films from festivals, or who's decided not to show in film spaces, you know, that level of care and listening and sharing of like information or sharing of a safe space to like engage in terms of the decision making is beyond that space as well, right? Or even spaces where in institution where like, okay, here we give you the space to express your views, your stance, and so on. But I guess we're getting to a place that's a bit more and more politicized in so many ways. I wonder, like, how do we maintain an engagement among ourselves that is trusting?
I think first of all, it's the respect for each other. That should be always the ground floor, the respect. And then, yes, in the last year, we've experienced a lot of these pulling films out of festivals or not even applying. And I have to say, I just can talk for myself. I think I'm not a fan of boycotting. I want at least the filmmaker to apply, to give me a chance, because at the end, my decision making is based on the content and the aesthetics of a film. That's the ground for all of us. Of course, this is something for the filmmakers. It's their decision. I respect that. But I think it's a pity at the end. It's not up to me. I would always love to show films that I like, but that's all I can do.
I do agree with Nihan, what she shared about, I think firstly about respect and also, well, for me, it's up to the filmmaker. I think like Nihan said, like whether they want to boycott the festival and not to submit. I guess there's always another way of looking at it. If they do submit to the festival and if it's selected, and I think that in a way can also lead to a discussion. And also, I mean, of course, I think kind of going back to the what we said about the current political landscape, while maybe they can't like talk so, I don't know whether the right word is openly, directly, but still, that chance of having a conversation, be it, like in a direct Q&A or even, after the screening, where a group of us, we break up smaller groups, we continue to have conversations about certain issues in the films. Those are really so valuable. And I think that's one of the more memorable, important roles that I feel film festivals, film programs still play a part, is this kind of like discourse for discussion and all. And Kila, going back to your point where you also said, you as like a I think as like a freelancer, how do we also have these boundaries, because it's also your time and everything. I don't know too if there is like a perfect solution for it. I think it's also because, like, as like arts cultural worker, I think this is how it has been, so many years and all. But I also think that the wonderful thing is that there is like a support, because it's like all of us, we kind of go through the same issues, like burnout. Who cares for us? How do we like give enough care, but yet also receive enough care? I think it really helps to just like have that respect for each other, but also like a core support group that we know that we can, like kind of depend on each other when things get too crazy.
Yeah, I guess this idea of radical care, in these spaces and this kind of, I don't know what's radical anymore. I think, we've come to a place where really, truly, because, it feels like, as a, so in so many ways, when we look historically in cultural spaces, we're all about building a new community. There's kind of this, because of the limitation that comes within those times, and then now we're at a place where a lot of, radicalization has happened, from one subculture to another, and a lot of subcultures now become a lot more mainstream also, right? And so now what is the community building, especially in the climate of globalization? The exchange of culture in this time, what does that mean for us now? Because we don't have, like previously, like, I mean, I'm going to talk in a space of festival because I've worked in festival and I work internationally. And previously, you attend festival in another country to learn about other culture because it, not to say, I mean, even during the time of internet, like, the existence of internet, but there's a different kind of exchange, right? And then now, a lot, we're way more exposed, right? I mean, the pandemic was like the prime space for a lot of people to just absorb different content because everything went online, people had way more access, there's no geopolitical geo-blocking, and so there was just it like n there wasn't kind of this like spontaneous interaction or discovery when you explore a space, a place, and when you travel. And so this idea of radical, like, and we talk about care, which, I kind of want to move into because of, again, this is, we're talking about films, and I specifically also wanted to talk about short film. I think the form itself offer space to innovate, experiment in terms of the limitation and the radicalization of its form of medium, right? And so in this time where we also see this exchange of films across the international borders. You know, I know Malaysians who were watching videos on Welcome Collection, which they would have never encountered as much if Welcome Collection in the UK, when previously they wouldn't have access to that institution unless they're there. So when we talk about aesthetics, where this exchange is, you can kind of borrow something without traveling, right? And so this idea of like radical thinking of aesthetics, what are we offering now in terms of genuinely this kind of exchange when we travel with each other? Like, yeah, I guess I just wanted to hear from your experience of like, because I guess Puyi, you would travel a lot for work and then kind of thinking about the Singaporean audience and what you could bring back and how do you sort of promote Singaporean films perhaps or films from Southeast Asia internationally. And then Nihan, from you know what I know of you, that you also receive a lot, you receive a lot of artists, filmmakers in multidisciplinary practice to come to Berlin. And like, what is the exchange? What is different then, and what is it for you now?
You mean with my exchange with different cultural people?
Yeah, like for me, like for example, like where I'm trying to get at is that, you know, they don't even need to be in Berlin to know the aesthetics of Berlin anymore, right? Like that, you know, because things are very
Yeah,
I'm
but
talking about aesthetics here, you know, like
that's the phenomenon of the internet.
I wanted to address more in terms of the kind of conversation that you would have when you receive the people arriving to Berlin rather than just the film itself, you know, because I think, because you as a cultural worker receive them, like, you know, there is an exchange of
Of course.
people coming. This idea of radical aesthetics is where this conversation is where we build this new form, new idea, new identity. So I guess I'm interested of where you as a cultural worker receiving, what is the offering, you know, as we speak about enabling and care. Let's hear from Puyi and
No, I think that's a thanks for the question, Kila. I think as like both of you were sharing, I think it also got me thinking, you know, kind of like this idea of what is radical thinking and aesthetic. I think, yeah, what does it mean also? But I think first and foremost, I think going back to what you were saying, Kila, about, you know, sharing Singapore films outside of Singapore and then also kind of like programming Singapore films in Singapore. I think to start off with the Singapore audience, I feel like I like to also I think in Singapore with like short films, I think it's still a pretty it's not as a mainstream. I think more and more people are familiar with it, getting to watch more short films. But I think, you know, a lot of people, their idea of what like a film is, I think it's still pretty much like the usual kind of like a narrative, you know, the very standard three-act structure type of films. And I think it's also a lot on what they grow up watching on television, and especially now with the younger generation, you know, a lot of it like you know, their idea of what like story is, like whether from like YouTube and all that, is like a younger generation of people who go to cinemas, and we do see them at like other cinema spaces. But I think also kind of trying to balance this too with a lot of the films I try to do is like I like to kind of also start everyone easy, you know, choose like a good classic narrative. But I always like to kind of introduce one or two, you know, a bit like offbeat, experimental or something they've never like seen before. I think for me, this is a way to kind of introduce like maybe new ideas, just new way of looking at films. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I take it as, you know, kind of a learning process for me as well. Whereas like when I think in overseas, I guess depending on like which country, and it can be I think it can be quite different. So like not too long ago, the Kurzfilm Festival Hamburg, I think they asked me to program something, but that was like a mix of films, not just from Singapore. So then, you know, with a German audience and with a festival like Kurzfilm Festival Hamburg, I know that there is room to kind of go crazy because, you know, They appreciate like the various degree of different types of short film. But I think also when we think about like receiving filmmakers and audience, I think especially international ones, when they come by, when we have international guests, I think everybody always have like I mean I maybe it's the same for like Nihan and you too, Kila, like they have a fixed understanding of what Singapore is. And I think depending on what films they watch from Singapore, I mean a lot of times the more popular ones they watch are maybe like the bigger titles, like for example, like Ilo Ilo by Anthony Chen, the one, it was a big title and it's, classical set in like HDB, our version of public housing, because you see that in a lot of films, not just short films, but feature films. And so, they have this idea, when it comes to Singapore, then of course, like it's clean, it's green, and all, it's like pretty manicured. And then so then they have this like certain idea and expectations, but again it's through conversations when you talk to them, there are like, well, it's pretty clean and green in Singapore, but then also there are also like other spaces. So sometimes it's quite interesting when they do know that they seem a bit surprised when they hear that there are like rave parties happening in Singapore. And also not too long ago I was also chatting with a filmmaker. So it isn't a short film, but they got a chance to watch this feature film called A Yellow Bird by K. Raja Gopal. So it's by an Indian filmmaker. And this film, it actually shows like a more a grittier, I would say more real, but like a messier side of Singapore that they did not realize that it is, this landscape. There are such landscapes in Singapore. So I think, that is always very interesting and fun, what you understand in films. And I think I probably have the same thing when I watch films from like Europe or like in Asia. Like I have this idea, but of course I know that, when you are in that country, when you talk to the locals, like there's so much more to uncover and learn. But I know at least the film, watching that film, is a starting point to kind of like uncover more stories and all.
Did you want to add on, Nihan?
In my experience, it's always breaking the stereotypes that you have from anyone, any country, any region, any whatsoever. When you see something which is different, sometimes you even don't know what you're seeing, when it's an experimental film, I don't know, from Vietnam or something like that, and you will be like, oh wow, this is what they do in Vietnam. Interesting. Loves it. Yeah. Can happen, of course. The stereotype is taking away so much from us and our understanding of each other.
No, and I think even the same for locals. So I think it was in Berlinale shots this year, Through Your Eyes by Nelson Yeo. So, it's like shot in this nightclub. And I think actually like not a lot of Singaporeans know about this space. So in the screening in Berlin, there were like some Singaporeans who were also there, and they themselves, as a local, they were
Yes.
surprised
Yeah.
about this space. They were like, oh, where's this space? I've lived in Singapore for so long, but I never knew like there's like a space like that. Now, I mean, of course, the film, Nelson's film, is always quite trippy and experimental. It brings you to another world. But I think, kind of just like looking at Singapore with a kind of, I guess, a new understanding, or also even realizing that like, wow, through this space, the way the story and a form of expression is told, like
Yes.
that was also, that can be really refreshing too.
But I'm glad that you say something like that because I really like that film too because
Me
it
too, me
was so
too.
wild, totally wild. I loved it. It was so Yes, and I knew this was, this is also Singapore when I saw it because my stereotype with Singapore is as you told me, this clean, super nice environment. And then all of a sudden, I was thrown into the red light district, with the couple and all these things.
Like the lights,
Yes, the lights. It was, and I might be a bit weird, but I thought it was super lovely.
I mean, he'll be happy to hear
Yeah,
that.
I guess that's the solidarity that we have, where we engaged in a way that perhaps, like you say, Puy, not even Singaporeans know about it, you know, that like, hey, like I'm also showing another side of this, and it's a part of just breaking stereotypes. And I think it's interesting to think about stereotypes existing not just cross borders, you know, it's actually in the locality of things as well. But our own biases that comes with this kind of thinking, like, I guess in this way, I wanted to kind of move to, since you brought out this other world and, like, you know, we thinking about world building. I mean, of course, this is not the film wasn't very much building a new world, but showing an existing one. But as we speak about this radicalization of aesthetics, that, you know, again, I want to be, you know, just kind of realistic in terms of the climate that we are in, to think about these exchanges being existing beyond institution, right? Like, because the beauty also of cultural exchange in this terms of, like, as we travel to one place to another, is that we meet people of different backgrounds, culture, countries, nationalities, and so on. But how do we, well, I guess much more, not how do we, but do you believe there is space for this cultural to exist beyond this institutional spaces?
Definitely.
Definitely, yes.
I think definitely. I think when we think about, like, actually for me, like a big part also why not just institutions but festivals, you know, they can have, you know, these kind of relationships with, like, you know, artists, filmmakers and all. It's really like it is the people. And I think you know, even I think without, I mean, of course, you know, like everybody wants to be, you know, featured at like a big institution, a nice festival, and da da da, because you know that's the best way to get your work seen. But I think the core of it is really like, you know, the human relationship. Even if, you know, like as artists or cultural workers, programmers, you know, we come together, we organize, you know, more kind of pop-ups, or you know, a more a natural, like organic way of organizing like events, screenings, talks. I think that is gives us like different ways to kind of experiment with the space we're playing with. But I think also, you know, we perhaps free of certain limitations that like institutions or festivals, you know, impose on. Of course, you know, while working with organizations like that, you do have to like adhere to, you know, what they stand for, what they want. Because, for example, they get money, you know, from the government, and because of that, you know, there are certain restrictions you can or cannot do on certain things. But I think when we get out of that system where we kind of can organically freely organize like programs like that, I think it also gives us more room to, you know, not just perhaps really work with the people that we really want to work with, you know, to kind of show more like, whether you want to call it like a crazy out there work, but also perhaps a chance to also, you know, work with people we might not get the chance with, because, you know, maybe their values or their work do not align with certain things that, you know, the institution or festival are looking for. Like, what do you think, Nihan?
Yeah, the other day I went to an exhibition. It was an opening in a gallery here, and there was posters from the past. It was from 1978, and I want to share with you. On the poster, it was a poster for a congress, for a talk, like a town hall meeting or something like that, and it's called "Culture is not made in ministries of culture." And this is
Love it.
something I totally agree. We need more of this. And this is, I think this sums that up. Culture is not made in ministries of culture, you know? It's us, it's the artists, it's all of us. And with the short film, what I like about the short form is always, it is not, you know, it's always under the radar in so many terms. That means the freedom within the short form is so almost limitless. The only
Yeah.
limitation is the time, you know?
Yeah,
Because
I
it's
totally
not,
agree. Yeah.
yes, it's not
Yeah.
commercial. And that's the fantastic part of it. You get to see things that sometimes you don't even imagine from your own country, you know?
Yep.
There is something,
Yeah.
but all of a sudden you see it in front of you and you're like, ah, yeah. And this was, I was standing in front of the poster and I thought, yes, baby.
You took a photo with the poster.
Yeah, so simple and so true.
I think that's a very nice reminder that, you know, institutions are actually a place to continue a conversation with cultural that are existing beyond it, that, you know, that what's created within the walls of institutions are not, in many ways, are manicured, not manicured, perhaps more, well, what would be the best word? Framed in a certain ways for certain guidelines or so on. I mean, but I guess we all already know that. But I guess sometimes in terms of these intercultural exchanges to tend to forget. I think what saddened me to kind of see and hear sometimes also, and this is I think a kind of also of the post-internet era, right? Where like, because everything is accessible and aesthetics is borrowed here and there, and sometimes the context of culture is not being understood to the core of this, to the core of its value, perhaps. The idea of this, yeah, like culture existing beyond, what was it? Culture
Culture
is
is not made
me.
in ministries of culture.
Yeah. And therefore, anything that is within that perhaps is much more just a catalyst to spark a bigger space for conversation. And that is something institutions need to somehow remember, I guess, that, you know,
And this is something we should all remember from time to time, you know? We tend to forget. This is, you know, it's not important. The only thing which is important is that people still are doing things, and our responsibility is, and that's what what was what I meant with respect, is be open to things. Just listen. I mean, this listening is something very, very important. In my opinion, it's the most important part of our job to listen.
True. Hui, anything to add on?
No, I think sometimes listening is such an important, and I think like people like take it for granted sometimes, because I think a lot of times people just want to talk, oh, you know, like my film is about this, my film is about that, and also listening, trying to understand, because I think so sometimes it's so easy, you know, kind of to jump in and judge, you know, like I think we're all guilty of doing that sometimes. We are going back to the idea of the phrase that, you know, culture is not made in Ministry of Culture. It's I wish that also people working in the ministry and the governments, they also, you know, like know this and understand this, because it's also so tricky. It's so gray also sometimes, because, you know, a lot of these institutions, festivals we work with, you know, a bulk of the funding tends to come from, like, you know, these ministries and this government, but also, you know, there's always strings attached. It's tied to, you know, like certain policies or whatever. I mean, like everything is like politicized these days, right? But also, you know, like the core of it, you know, like at least I can't speak for like Germany, but at least in Singapore, sometimes I wish, you know, they remember, you know, like why have this an arts council in the first place. It is really, you know, to, you know, promote the art, to support the artist. It's not to, you know, hit certain markers, like, oh, we need X number of certain audience numbers. Oh, we need to show like how beautiful, certain like art looks like, but it's really, it has to dig deeper the idea of what is like culture and what do you mean also by supporting culture.
Yeah, but what I also mean is listening to each other, you know, the three of us, for instance. We do work in this field. We are in betweens, you know, we are the ones. And this was my thing why I don't see myself as a gatekeeper. I see myself as an enabler for all of us. It's not just an enabler for the artist, also for the audience to see, and for each other too, yeah? Because it's nice that we have this kind of conversations, because we need to see sometimes how this works with you know, and how this works with me or with Kila. And so I think often we tend to forget, we take it for granted, people like us, we're always there.
That's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't say always. You know, I think that self-care is as important as well as what we offer as we enable exchanges to happen. Yeah, I guess this is a lovely way to end the conversation. Thank you both again for joining, and I really appreciate you taking the time to enable it to happen. And yeah, and hope we see each other soon.
Yeah, thank you
Yeah.
so much, Nihan and Kila. It's been really lovely to, and also to adopt lipstick. Am I pronouncing it right?
Leipzig.
Lipstick, yes. Sorry, not lipstick for having us.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much to both of you. It was my first time talking in public
Yes,
like
me
this.
too. It's
Yay!
all of
All
for
of
virgin
us. Yeah,
podcast.
and thank you,
Okay,
Doc
we can say,
Leipzig, for giving us the opportunity to chat. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.